When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the 125th Army-Navy game presented by USAA. Yes, indeed. We continue right along here from Radio Row at Arlington National Cemetery and the Military Women's Memorial. We're with you until 4 o'clock. And, of course, coming up tomorrow from Northwest Stadium in Landover is the 125th Army-Navy game. Here to talk about that and as well the Philadelphia Eagles and thoughts on Jaden Daniels and the Commanders is my guy Hugh Douglas, who was with us last year. He hosts Midday on the Odyssey app, 94 WIP in Philadelphia with good dude Joe Giglio. From 10 to 2, you can hear them. And Hugh is with us here for a couple of minutes. Hugh, always good to have you with us. Thank you for doing this. What's
always
going
good
on?
Always good to be here, man. How you doing
today? I appreciate you. I'm doing great. First of all, it's good to see you on sort of our home turf. I think last year we were in Boston, right? Exactly. So we had some clam chowder.
I forgot. Was the pizza?
The lobster rolls.
No, it was a pizza. Ross Tucker was telling me about like a bean pizza or whatever. It was something weird, but it was a Boston thing. It was a Boston thing. So yeah,
I had like enough lobster rolls and clam chowder to make up for a lifetime.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I don't. Yeah, I'm not that good. Adventurous with when it comes to eating like that. No, I'm not
all right. So you know, obviously, you know, you've seen the pageantry. You've been involved in this. You know, we're here at Radio Row again. What does this game mean to you as somebody who played
this is,
you know, at a high level?
It's hard to put into words what this game means. You talk about the ultimate rivalry and the ultimate camaraderie at the same time. You talk about, I mean, just thinking about every time that I come down here, I get to hear stories from people who served and how important this game is to them, people that went to school that either one of the schools, and what it means to them, and the sacrifices that the individuals have made, men and women. I mean, man, it's so humbling to be a part of this. I was looking at the uniforms and just hearing the story of some of the meaning behind the uniforms and how they honor, like, I think it was the one-on-one infantry or whatever. Mm-hmm. And how the story behind that and listen to the people in the history. I mean, it's so much to talk about. It's overwhelming, but it's overwhelming in a good way. It's really, really a special game, man. Yeah. It really, really is.
For somebody who played at the highest level, you played in some competitive ass divisions, rivalry games. I think a little easier to get up for them, but how did you separate, compartmentalize, if you will, your emotions so that you weren't maybe going over the edge and you were staying mentally and physically in control, yet having that intensity that you need to win a rivalry game?
I think the biggest thing you had to do is you can't play the game before the game is actually played. Mm. And I'm thinking, and when I think about that, I think about some of the games that we had against the Commodores. I like to call them the Commodores, as you know. Like Lionel Richie and all that other good stuff. But anyway,
I think we play that all the time.
I think about some of the games. I think about some of those games and how physical they were and how mentally taxing they could be. So you never wanted to be mentally drained or physically drained like on a Wednesday or something like that, knowing how physical the game was going to be on Sunday. So you would just, you know, try to build up to that. You know, you would lock in on days where you had to do film study and things of that nature. And when the game finally got there, that's when you let those emotions actually come out and use that to your advantage on the field.
You know what's so cool about, like, this year's game? You know, I was trying to think, you know, Navy was a little bit down, and they've lost the last two, but they've come right down to the wire, won overtime in Philadelphia. Last year, right to the goal line in Foxborough, what have you. Mm-hmm. Both teams are actually pretty good this year.
Yeah.
And you could make an argument, and we're going to talk to the AAC Commissioner Tim Pernetti coming up right after you. He made the argument Army should be in the playoff.
Yeah, it's weird. The 12-team playoffs, and a lot of people are talking about that, and I know that there's mixed emotions about that, especially about SMU and how they got in, and you know, the fact that Alabama isn't in. But you talk about two teams that historically, when you talk about college football as a whole, haven't really made a whole lot of noise over the last couple of years. But these are some actually good teams that are playing this year. And there is a case to be made, but I feel like this year, this is the same as it was when we started the 14 playoffs, what, like 6 years ago, when there was a little bit of controversy. I think that as we move through this first year of it, that it will get better. And some of the criteria that you have to have in order to make these games, it's going to get better.
Some of the criteria and some of the thought process of the selection committee. Again, you know, it's one thing to make an argument for Army. It's a little bit different to make an argument for Alabama. You mentioned SMU getting essentially that final spot. I know people in Miami were upset.
Yeah.
I don't think they deserve it. Whatever. Whenever you leave it up to fate, whenever you leave it up to someone else, right?
Yeah, that's when
I mean,
you
as a player know you have to take control of your own destiny.
And you know, it's the same thing when we talk about the Philadelphia Eagles and the fact that they are still in the hunt for the number one seed, but they're not in control of their destiny.
Correct.
And we were talking about it earlier today about how, what if you beat the Atlanta Falcons? This is a non-story, but you didn't do that.
Yeah.
So you are not in control of your fate right now. You're a team that has to do everything that you possibly can. Take care of your business.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you do that, you still got to hope and pray that everything works in your favor, i.e., Detroit loses this weekend to the Buffalo Bills and possibly have another loss to, who is it, Minnesota, that they still have to play?
Yeah, I think
or, do they play? I think they play Chicago again.
Detroit. Yeah, Chicago, yes.
Yeah, I think they play. So
which is, you know, like people are going to think, oh, that's easy.
Yeah,
and it might be.
It's not that easy.
Right, exactly. I mean, you got to go out and play, you know, outside and, you know, whatever. So,
yeah.
Speaking of the Eagles, and we're being joined by Hugh Douglas, former, of course, first-round pick, and a current 94 WIP with Joe Giglio Middays. You can listen to it on the Odyssey app, as you can listen to this show anytime, anywhere, live, free, taped, you know, all that good stuff. So, earlier this week, of course, we see the ramifications, if you will, of A.J. Brown basically throwing what I thought was Jalen Hurts under the bus. Some people dispute that. Some people say it was kind of an innocent comment, more generally the passing game. How did you process that, again, as a player who understands competitive emotions and maybe you're not thinking as straight after a game, after a win? How did you kind of process all that?
Well, if you allow me, because I'm about to what I like to call long talk, just a little
bit. You do what Hugh Douglas wants to do.
There's a lot of emotions that you have to unpack from this. My first thought was you never allow outside individuals into family business. That was number one. And I felt like what AJ said, although to me it wasn't egregious because it was something that was being discussed amongst the analysts, the people that do what we do for a living. It was being discussed because this passing game has not been where it needs to be. But when he made the comment, I kind of workshopped it a little bit. And I said, he's not lying. He said, passing game. He said, what is the problem? Passing. I was like, he's not lying. Because we talked for weeks about how anemic this passing game is. And the fact that you're coming out of a game where you struggled against the Carolina Panthers, although they're playing better, you only threw for like 88 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So what he said wasn't egregious. And I'm like, yeah, he's got a point, the passing game. But I looked at it, he might have been talking about the quarterback, which he probably was. But he also might have been talking about the offensive coordinator. I was trying to, you know, workshop it and just, you know, be mature about the situation. Mm-hmm. Just said, oh, no, he was talking about the quarterback. So then this is when it gets spicy and interesting. Brandon Graham comes on his radio show, and he just brings a whole can of gasoline and just lights fire to the whole thing. Now the story has evolved because now Brandon's coming from a position of – there's a lot. Brandon is a well-respected – person in that locker room. He's the longest tenured Eagle in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right. So when he's been in that locker room this year.
He's been in that locker room. And so some of the things that he said, you know, there's some – you think that there's some validity to it. I don't know if that's the case. Like, again, I'm not in the locker room, but I'm just going on my perspective from being a defensive player and knowing how much defensive players interact with offensive players. It was a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
But my first thought was we shouldn't have let people in family business.
I agree.
Brandon basically got mad at AJ for putting people in family business, but he went and put people in family business. So it just got – it was all over the place, man.
Next Sunday, the Eagles against the Commanders at Northwest Stadium. I got 15, 20 seconds before we have to let you run because I know you got a tight schedule. I appreciate it. Hugh Douglas with us. Real quickly, your just big picture thought on Jaden Daniels so far, what
you've
seen.
I like what it seems. Listen, he's a young, exciting quarterback. I think the division, as far as the quarterbacks are concerned, is going to be okay. Him and Jalen. Jaden's nice. I like him a lot. I think the Commodores are going to be a problem in the next coming
year. I heard you say that on the radio the next morning.
They're going to be a problem, man. I'm like, the Commodores are going to be a problem.
I talked about that. I talked about that on my show the day after that game. I was like, you called them the Commodores. Commodores. Well, man, I appreciate you stopping by. Always good to see you.
Hugh Douglas from
WIP in Philadelphia. You can listen to him and Joe Giglio 10 to 2 Monday through Friday.
Shout out to my man Rob Grossman.
There you go. On the Odyssey app and, of course, 94 WIP in Philadelphia. We appreciate you for joining us. Coming up next is the commissioner of the AAC, Tim Pernetti. He will join us here from Radio Row at the 125th Army-Navy game right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Yeah, it is a feel-good football Friday. We continue along here from the annual and 125th Army-Navy game presented by USAA. We're outside of course, our nation's capital, where we normally broadcast from in the Navy Yard. But today, we're at the Military Women's Memorial right here at Arlington National Cemetery. So certainly hallowed grounds as we get ready for the 125th Army-Navy game tomorrow at Northwest Stadium. And joining us now is the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference, the AAC, which Army won on Friday night. Mr. Tim Pernetti is with us here on the Team 980. Tim, great to have you. How are you?
I'm doing great. This is it's quite the car wash
they got going on in here. Yeah, when they say like the ESPN car wash, this is a version of it, I guess. So, you know, I promise not to like super soak you.
All right,
okay?
We're good, man. We're good. I'm on
you
yours.
Want me to put a tie on you?
No, please, for the love of God. Just seeing that picture they have on the website, like I think in this job in 6 months I've worn a tie twice.
We were talking obviously before we came on. You're like, oh, they got a tie on me. Not a chance to see a tie. Not happening. I don't blame you. I don't mind ties. They just never sit right. You know, I got a weird neck. I got a lot of weird things. I got a weird neck. They just never sit right. And then they kind of flap around. And then the thing.
We started a whole conversation about the problems.
I love it. But here's the conversation I want to have before we get to the significance of this game. So I know you were a little salty that Army did not get into the college football playoff. They are champions of your conference, the AAC. They rolled through Tulane on Friday night. I watched all of that game. I talked to Coach Munkin last hour. A couple of days ago, yep. But we played it last hour. You know, what Army did this year, just before we get to Navy, what Army did this year is incredible, number one. And just can you go into a little bit of why you thought they were kind of forgotten about, if you will, when everybody was talking about Alabama and Miami and so on and so forth?
Sure. I think you nailed it. Army, what they did in our conference in their first year as a member was remarkable. Mm-hmm. And what I'd also say, a word that needs to be used with people say, well, you know, what do you make of Army season? Is really inspiring. Mm-hmm. Like in a time like this where all anybody is talking about NIL, transfer portal, money, NIL, money. And the narrative is, if you don't invest, you can't win. And that I was hearing that upside my head all year. And I just sort of said to people, you know what? Go tell Army Navy that. When they're 6-0 or 7-0. Mm-hmm. I said, go tell these guys that and then tell me what you think. It's inspiring that both Army and Navy got to the point where they were being competitive at a high level because they don't have that same type of ability.
No.
They can't do it, and they don't have access. But what they do have is the ability to bring kids in mm-hmm. and get them for 4 years and build. And that's the old college model, right? It wasn't like transfer in, transfer mm-hmm. out, where's the money? It was you got a locker room of guys as freshmen, you built, you grew it, and then a couple of years later you had the chemistry. I mean, I think if you look at Army, that was part of the thing I thought was attractive. I think their case was very, very strong. They beat everybody on their schedule in a convincing manner. Mm-hmm. And we had some really unpredictable, very good football teams in our conference.
Yeah.
And they lost to the number four team in the country.
Yes.
Right now, the timing of that loss, I think, is probably what hurt them. What I'd also say is if you looked at autonomy conference members that lost during the year and saw how they fell in the CFP rankings, they fell, but I would say modestly. When Army's playing at 16, I think thereabouts when they lost to Notre Dame, and they just completely drop off the board, I think that needs to be looked at. But Army had as strong a case as anybody, and I don't think anybody would have been thrilled to see them in the playoff given the unique style that they put on the field.
No, absolutely, because, you know, you do have a high, you know, I mean, he's not officially a Heisman finalist, but a Heisman candidate in Bryson Daly. And, you know, I mean, watching that game on Friday night, and I watch Army and Navy throughout the year, and whatever else I can, whatever else is on TV, I just bounce around from game to game to game. So I see a little bit of everything. You know, and that's what makes this game special. Yeah, you got the rivalry, but these two teams are pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be a good football game tomorrow.
These are good football teams. I went around everywhere. You know, my first year in the conference, I'm like, I'm getting to a game at every school, and I got to at least one at every school.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw everybody. And we had some teams, Army, Navy, Memphis, Tulane. We had some teams competing at a very high level.
Yes.
And I thought that was exciting. When you're a commissioner, Chris, your goal during the football season is mm-hmm. you want multiple teams being talked about in late November. And we had that. But there are already conversations. You know, people are wondering, how's our schedule going to work in the future? Do I have to play Army and Navy in the same year?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of thought to all of that. But Navy's been a great member of this conference for a long time. Army has arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Army set the bar pretty high, right? So
yep.
in the future. But the national visibility that the American Athletic Conference got out of these two programs mm-hmm. and what they accomplished this year cannot be measured.
How important is it from a conference perspective, not only that the teams are good, but that you retain good head coaches? Like Coach Munkin, you know, of Army has been mentioned for a couple of these, and now some of them have been filled, obviously, by Belichick at North Carolina, and I want to ask you about that. Rich Rodriguez going back to West Virginia, which is really weird. But how important is it for not only the programs, obviously, to be good, but to retain head coaches that can run really good programs like Jeff has? And no slight to Brian Newberry. He's done a nice job here, too, but specific to Jeff.
You know, I'm a football guy. I played in college and had such a great experience. So I got to know our football coaches, all of them, during the year. And five of them are gone. And it's a really difficult part of the business. The challenge for coaches today when you're at a school that is not Army, Navy, or Air Force, and you're faced with NIL and all these things, is you can push for the money so you can invest and get your roster, but if you're not showing results right away, three of those coaches got fired in the middle of year two.
Yeah,
so the 10 years for coaches are getting shorter.
Shelf life,
Everybody talks about talent, and I say that talent goes all the way up through the head coach. We have great assistants in our league. We have the AFC Assistant Coach of the Year, you know, coach at Army as well, but I would be lying if, like, I love Coach Munkin, and I want him to have whatever career he wants to have.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be lying if I said to you that I'm not thrilled that other coaches got selected. Not because he's not better. I don't think there's anybody better than him. But I love the fact that he's in our league. He stands for the grit, determination, this sort of earned component of what you get in the American. There's not a better, you know, model than Coach Munkin and Coach Newberry as well, like what he's done in a short period of time there. So consistency in the head coaching positions is critical if you're going to grow as a conference. But I also understand the business side. And when I see departures, everybody's lamenting why. Right. And I always say this is good news. Like, it's sad for the guys, but it's good in that we have programs that are not satisfied. They're signaling they're going to invest in success. They're serious about success because those are not only difficult, but they're expensive decisions.
Tim Pernetti from the American Athletic Conference, which of course is Army, Navy, and of course the champions of the AAC, Army, as you may have seen on Friday night, beating Tulane, with us here from Radio Row at the Army-Navy game presented by USAA on the Team 980. So you've already mentioned a couple of times, transfer portal, NIL. Now, I can tell you from a radio guy's perspective, drives me crazy. from a commissioner's perspective, how much less sleep have you gotten with the influx, if you will, with the strong push that NIL and the transfer portal has brought to college football and college athletics?
Well, when I interviewed for the job, Chris, I knew all. I mean, this stuff's been going on for a while. And even when I was athletic director at Rutgers from 2009 to 13, when we moved them into the Big Ten, they were talking about compensation for student athletes. So I had my eyes open. The thing that's challenging, and this is where I have my challenges as commissioner, is I'm focused on trying to enter into new commercial and business relationships to generate new revenue for our schools. Because then and only then can I give them more resources to be able to manage NIL and manage the transfer portal and manage investment and experience. But it's nerve-wracking. And I'm the commissioner. Like, how'd you like to be a coach or be an athletic director? Right? So all this stuff is hugely challenging. Having said that, we do need to evaluate NIL. I fully support kids being able to earn on name, image, and likeness, but my concern is they're out there, a lot of them uneducated and ungoverned, in that we're not putting guardrails around them to protect them. You know, there's some stat out there, a friend of mine that runs an NIL education company called Advance. 30-something percent of pro players that were in NIL deals in college never paid tax on those deals. So they're not. We need to educate people and protect them, because you can make one deal with someone that's not the right person. You're looking at dollar signs and not who they are or the DNA of the brand, and it could chase you for the rest of your life.
That's such a great point.
That really needs to change. Transfers, there's been no more popular conference in America than the American for transfers, because we are developing great talent. Now, I'd like to keep them longer. And I think coaches and administrators need to get into contractual relationships with student athletes, which, by the way, can include performance incentives. So you treat them like, hey, the better you do, the more money you're going to make. But we've lost a lot of talent to the portal. But the sign to me is, like, we're developing great talent. So strategically, we have to get serious about creating a structure and more revenue to keep them in the system.
I got one last quick question. I know you got to run.
Hit me.
We got to run 15, 20 seconds. Belichick good for college football, or?
Belichick and Greg Schiano, who I worked with at Rutgers, were very close back then. And Bill used to come on the road trips with us sometimes. And so I got to spend time with him. He's a fascinating guy. And what people see publicly, the personality, like, that's not who he is. You know, he is a smart, strategic thinker. He's a witty guy. I think that this just contributes. This is more gas in the tank for what we already know. 12-team playoff, more interest in college football than there's ever been before. Like, you telling me that's going to be bad? That's not going to generate more interest? It also is a signal, bringing more professionally trained people into college football, that may be the way we're moving in a lot of aspects. Look at who he's already hiring to manage, like as a GM.
This is
a signal that that's where we're headed. But, you know, I'm a Coach Belichick fan. You can't say that nobody out there understands it, because the guy knows how to win.
No doubt.
And he's proven that. So tell me the downside.
No doubt. Tim, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Chris,
best
thank
of luck.
You.
Congratulations on a great year. Army-Navy, of course, coming up, 125th edition, if I could say that in English, the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference, overseeing it all, Army-Navy, of course, tomorrow here on Radio Row. Tim Pernetti, appreciate him joining us here live at the set. Coming up next, E.J. Manuel from SiriusXM, former first-round pick. We'll bounce all around, talk a little Heisman and all of that. We continue along right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we'll do a real quick trending alert here. The Commanders getting set for the New Orleans Saints on Sunday, and they will have Marshawn Lattimore in the fold for Washington. Now, they did sign Greg Joseph, a kicker, veteran kicker, to the practice squad. We will see if that results in a call-up, because Zane Gonzalez has been a little bit banged up. Odell Beckham Jr. has been released by the Miami Dolphins. How about Virginia Tech? They're keeping both quarterbacks in their system. Pop Watson, who started the Virginia game, and of course Kyron Drones, who was some expected to leave and go via the transfer portal, are both staying for now in Blacksburg for Virginia Tech. We will be back here at the Army-Navy game in just a moment. E.J. Manuel going to join us in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we continue along here at the 125th Army-Navy game presented by USAA. We're at the Military Women's Memorial in Radio Row, right next to Arlington National Cemetery, so certainly hallowed grounds. And if you ever have a chance to get here to the Women's Memorial or to Arlington National Cemetery to pay honor and homage to the men and women who have laid their lives on the line and paid the ultimate sacrifice, certainly encourage you to do so. We're here for the Army-Navy game, and joining us now is a guy who does it on SiriusXM every day and did it in the NFL and did it at Florida State and did it all between, former first-round pick E.J. Manuel. Nice to have you on the show, E.J. Thank you so much for your time. How are you?
Chris, I'm doing great, man. Happy to be here. It's my second year at the Army-Navy game, so very glad that SiriusXM, USAA thought enough of me to have me back. And I think this year's game is going to be awesome.
And I saw you here last year. We were supposed to have you on. Something happened.
Chris, it wasn't my fault. Whatever happened, it wasn't me.
No, right? But I'm glad we were able to have you on, obviously, this year. So yep. I appreciate your time.
For sure.
So you mentioned the second game. This is my fourth in a row.
Nice.
I used to kind of dismiss the importance of this game when I was immature. Now that I'm mature, I understand it, I live it, I breathe it, it's awesome, the rivalry, the historical significance, all that. For you as a guy who played this game, college and pro, and now does media work, how did that evolve in your mind?
Well, it became more evolving last year when I came to this game. And I was like you. I was immature. I was uneducated.
Yeah.
I was a bit ignorant, truly, because I didn't realize how special this game was. And you look at the aspect of these players aren't transactional portal guys or NIL guys, self-seeking. They're protecting our country. These guys love football. And they're damn good players.
Yeah.
I mean, Army's they just won the conference first year in the American.
Carved through Navy, Tulane on Friday.
Navy had a shot, too. Look, if you listen to our show on SiriusXM with Hester, I was saying Navy was going to beat Notre Dame. And I really felt that way.
Yeah.
Now, they got blown out. But, I felt like that team was good enough to match up with the Irish. And the Irish are in the CFP. So I think that part says even more about these programs, about the coaching, and then also the character of the young men. Because it's not just about football. It's also about protecting and serving our country. So you and I can do our job like this and we can watch these great football
players. Yeah, no doubt. And you said, being a part of it at the level that we get to be a part of it, right? Which is a little bit different maybe if you're just a fan or if you served in the Navy or the Army.
Right.
Again, everybody's got a different perspective, but it's about what it means, but also it's damn good football. And I try and tell people this all the time is, maybe look, if you put them on the field with, Alabama 10 times, maybe Alabama would win 9 times. But you know what? Every damn game would be a fight.
No question.
Every damn game would
be a
fight.
Because you're dealing with real soldiers, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, us football players, we talk about football. We're going to go to war. And we're going to ride with each brothers. And these guys are doing that for real.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know what I mean? Like, tactical, real stuff. And I grew up in Virginia Beach, Virginia. So my dad was in the Air Force. My dad worked at the Norfolk Naval Base for 35 years.
Sure.
So I grew up around that mentality.
Yeah.
And that's why I respect this game so much. I'm happy that I'm here.
Oh, no doubt about it. E.J. Manuel, SiriusXM with us. Of course, former first-round pick. So the rest of college football, we were just talking to Tim Pernetti of the AAC. You have this game obviously tomorrow night, but you have the Heisman, which a lot of people get jacked up about. Do you think Ashton Jeendy has a real good shot of beating out Hunter, or do you think it's Hunter's to lose and he's the easy winner?
I think they're truly 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
If they could split the trophy in half and give it to both, they both are deserving. But I think when you look at the body of work of Travis Hunter, and let's think about this, guys, the fact that you can prepare for a full game plan on offense and a full game plan on defense, the retention on a weekly basis to be able to do that, that tells you how smart this kid is, let alone how freaky of an athlete he is, how he can run, jump, catch, defend. So when I look at that type of stuff, that's one of one. Those are the Charles Woodsons of football, the Champ Baileys. Those guys got gold jackets for the NFL. And not to say, Travis will get that because we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that potentially could be in his future. So if I had a vote, I would probably say Travis Hunter, just the body of work he's had. Gentee's special too, but Travis Hunter is different.
What do you think he is in the pros?
I would love to see him play corner. Now, I do think –
As primary.
Okay. Yeah, I do think you can certainly still play DB.
Mm-hmm.
But, I was watching The Pivot with Ryan Clark and his crew. They had an interview with Travis Hunter, and I think it was Channing
Crowder?
Channing Crowder, excuse me. Asked him a good question. He's like, all right, so if you're playing against the Dolphins, you got to guard Tyreek Hill for 10 plays. You got to turn around. Now you're getting guarded by Jalen Ramsey. I mean, that's daunting.
Yeah.
And so not to say it can't be done, because I'm all about guys who feel like they can be one of one, but that's going to be tough. But I would love to see him play corner. He's long. He's lean. He can run.
Right.
And that's kind of the new age of corner that we have in the NFL.
So major corner, minor wide receiver.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And even if you flip it, think about that. Like, that's why you're kind of picking two players in one.
I mean,
you can genuinely put him anywhere on the football field, and he's going to get you production.
And I guess you could, you know, squeeze some juice out of him, maybe not in the first three quarters, but if you need it one way or the other, you know, late in the game, 2 minutes left to go, whatever, you can put him out there and do that. That's great. That's a great point, AJ Manuel. Of course, the Heisman Trophy tomorrow night after the Army-Navy game. So I wanted to ask you about all right, so you played at Florida State. Obviously, it was a really tough year. I mean, I still can't get over the fact that they were screwed last year. Sorry, I don't apologize for that. They should have been in the college football playoff. I will never forget that.
Yeah.
But it seemed like it carried over, and a lot, and I know they were hurt by the transfer portal and guys leaving. What do you make of where Florida State is?
Yeah, I was hurt as you. Yeah. Probably even more hurt because I played there.
Sure.
And, you know, working at the ACC Network and having to talk about it. And, it, you know, when I look at the season, you know, I'm still questioning, okay, well, what was the effort like? You know, did these guys assume just because of the 13-0 regular season with the ACC championship game that that would be the same result this year? And anybody who's played high-level football, you realize, man, it is any given Saturday and certainly any given Sunday in the NFL. And I think that's a good lesson for that program to learn, not to take anything for granted. So my big hope is, look, they go back to the drawing board. To hear that you say Florida State was 2-10 truly sounds so weird coming out of my mouth, but ultimately that's what it was. And I know Coach Novell is going to try to fix it and get that thing turned around quickly.
To the pros, a couple of questions before we have to let you go. AJ Manuel with us. What do you think of Jaden Daniels so far?
Baller, man. Baller. And I said it last year. I was on Get Up with a good group on that show, and Greeny asked me about who I thought the most – NFL-ready rookie would be. And it's, I said Jaden Daniels. Mm. The biggest reason when you watch him on tape, the understanding of where to go on blitzes, and then still have that athletic ability in your back pocket. I mean, you can't stop that. You know, you can't coach that either. And I feel like the reps that he got, whether it was at Arizona State or the reps he got in the SEC when he was the leader there at LSU, helped him into this rookie year. He's prepared, and that shows up every Sunday.
You know what? This is a quarterback. The work ethic that you put in away from the camera, away from the field. I mean, the kid shows up at 5 a.m. every morning.
Yeah, because he loves football, too.
Right.
And that's
the
other
part. And he
plays
with that the virtual reality thing, and they say, I mean, it's helped them so much. And Kingsbury talks about it all the time. I mean, I guess it's got to have a pretty major impact. You also played, of course, in Buffalo. You were first-round pick. What Josh Allen is doing – I mean, listen, I know they lost.
Right.
He didn't lose. You know, I mean, six touchdowns. Like, you just give him the MVP now?
Yeah, so I didn't catch the game. I was traveling, but my dad watched it. Mm. And he was like, man, they just had a hell of a game against the Chargers because Justin Herbert's playing well as well.
Rams.
The Rams. So that was a Stafford. But either way, you know, with Josh Allen there at Buffalo, I feel like Coach McDermott did such a great job when he was a rookie to help him grow. Because every rookie quarterback is going to have ebbs and flows. You're going to have really good games. You're going to have games that aren't so good.
Mm-hmm.
And how fast can you learn from those mistakes, I think, is very key. And how much patience does a head coach have for you? So I give a lot of credit to Josh, of course, because he put in the work. And now he's established himself. He knows who he is as a man and as a quarterback. But also, head coach McDermott's done a really good job to provide that infrastructure for him to grow like he's done.
One last thing for you, and I wish I could keep you longer, but I know you got a schedule. We got Mike Mayock coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Belichick to North Carolina. I love it.
I think it's great for ACC football. I think it brings a level of validity to ACC football. And I think it's great for Coach Belichick. He doesn't have to do anything else ever again. He made a ton of money. He's won six Super Bowls. He has nothing to prove to anybody.
But some people are saying the NFL turned their back on him. I think maybe they did, but I think he as much said, you know what, I want to control what want to control.
Let's consider this. Coach Belichick's 72.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I kind of understand why an NFL team may want to go younger, because how long would you have him? Teams don't want to hire guys for 3-4 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think this was somewhat of Carolina trying to be creative. And I think it's going to be great for the players. Imagine if he goes and sits in your living room, whether you're a young kid and don't really know who he is, your mom and dad do.
Yeah.
And, again, this guy has won six Super Bowls. So how can you not want to learn from him and the guys on his staff? He's going to prepare you for an NFL. And I'm not accounting for him to win every game and win national championships, but he's going to teach and develop. And that's all he talked about in his presser yesterday. So I'm glad he's there at Carolina. It's going to be great for us at the ACC Network.
AJ Manuel, again, you can check him out on the ACC Network as well throughout the week on Sirius XM, which Jacob Hester, Hoosier. Great to have you. Yeah. I appreciate you stopping by.
Appreciate it. And finish that sandwich, man.
I'll try. I don't need it, EJ, you know,
hey,
but
I'm hungry. I need it.
Well, there's, I think they still have lunch.
Yeah,
over
I might go over and grab
some. You got to get some.
You.
I appreciate you, man.
No doubt.
That's EJ Manuel. Great to have him aboard here with us from Army Navy Radio Row, the 125th Army Navy game presented by USAA, where at the Military Women's Memorial, Mike Mayock will be on the call for Westwood One. Former general manager, of course, NFL Network draft analyst, is expected to join us next. Joey Theismann coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, and we'll have our dueling Super Six Packs. Lots to get to before 4 o'clock, and Craig Hoffman right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, good to have you with us right here from the 125th Army-Navy game presented by USAA. We're at the Military Women's Memorial right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, and it's time now to welcome in a multi-time guest. I'm lucky I get this guy to come on the show, and he's nice enough to join us here at the set. Mike Mayock, of course, as you remember, longtime NFL analyst. He'll be on the call with Westwood One tomorrow from Northwest Stadium, and, of course, former general manager of the Las Vegas Raiders, and of course, long NFL Network and many other NBC Sports. You've had a lot of jobs.
Just means I'm old, dude.
No, it means you're really smart and people want you on aboard.
You know what? You think back, and my dad was a high school and college coach. Mm-hmm. We had five of the boys in my family play college football. Mm-hmm. Army-Navy was a staple. I grew up in Philadelphia, and that's where the game always was. So I could give you the history of Army and Navy football and the Heisman Trophy winners, and having done the game a few times, I played against all three academies my senior year at Boston College and hated every second of it because they were so tough, so disciplined. Tough. They got 172-pound wingbacks that just bite your ankles and your knees all day long. I have more respect for this rivalry, and to your point, I've done a lot of college games. I've done NFL games. I've been around all levels of the football. This might be my favorite game of the year.
You know, I'm telling all of our guests, like, when I was stupid, dumb, and young, I didn't appreciate this game.
Right.
It took me mid-40s and to go to games. This is my fourth and to really understand and appreciate that, not only for what it means for the country and the significance of Army-Navy, but also what it means from football and from a rivalry and from a competitive and sports. I was talking to Coach Newberry from Navy earlier this week. Yep. He said, you ain't going to see any flag planting here.
Right.
You know, it's football, it's dignity, it's character, it's development, it's leadership, but it's also class, and it's kind of like old-school football.
Somebody asked Jeff Monken this week at a press conference, the head coach at Army. They said, if you could explain this game to someone who's never seen a football game in his life, how would you do it? And he went, oh, I don't know. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, if I could give you a sledgehammer and you could stand across from me and you're going to take the first shot with that sledgehammer, mm-hmm. and you can hit me anywhere you want and as hard as you want. But after you do that, you have to give me the sledgehammer. And I'm going to hit you back. And we're going to keep doing this until only one of us are standing.
That's great.
And I thought, wow, that's really cool. Yeah. And then the coolest part of all is actually for me, and maybe it's because I'm old and I've been around a lot of sports in my life, is when the game ends, the most special thing happens. And that's when both teams do the alma mater together.
Yep.
So here are these brothers in arms that are going to go protect our country going forward. They just took that sledgehammer to each other for 60 minutes.
Yeah.
They're bloodied. They're tired. They've got tears streaming down their face, and they're arm in arm doing the other alma mater. And that gets me every year. I choke up every year.
And march on is
the march on is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. You got to get there early. Yeah. Oh.
I mean, I've done games at Mikey Stadium in Annapolis. I've done Air Force. And every one of those places I go, like, I love SEC football. Like, if I go to Georgia, Alabama, I'm a happy guy. But if I can do Army at Mikey Stadium and watch the walk-on up the Hudson River, I'm all in.
Yeah, no doubt. Mike Mayock with us. He'll be on the call for Westwood One tomorrow for the 125th Army-Navy game. You know, the other thing that strikes me, and before we get a couple other things with you in the remaining time that we have, you know, both programs are good. You don't always get that.
Yep.
I mean, they both lost to Notre Dame, But Army's only got the one loss. They ran through Tulane in the AAC championship on Friday night. Navy bounced back and got the big road win in East Carolina to set themselves up for this game. So that adds to the injury, because you don't always get that in any rivalry, but even in this one, you don't always get that.
You know what's cool this year is both quarterbacks are special.
Yes, yes.
Okay. The Army kid is like a 230-pound running back.
Is he Taysom Hill or no?
Yes. That's a great comp.
Is that the comp?
It's a great comp.
Okay.
And he's a big, you know, he's Captain America, they call him.
Okay.
They run less option and more planned quarterback run. And I think the reason they're doing it is you can take the quarterback away in option. You can just attack quarterback every time. But on quarterback planned run, you got 10 guys blocking. They run quarterback sweep, quarterback counter, quarterback power. They run everything you can do, which is what Taysom Hill does, by the way.
Yep.
Okay. That kid is special. They played Tulane in the AAC championship.
They rolled through them.
By the way, Tulane's got way more talent.
Yep.
Okay. It's 21-7 Army at half, and they haven't thrown a pass yet.
Yeah.
It was just like,
I'm with you.
And then Navy's got this kid, Horvath.
Yep.
Who's also special. And if you watched him against, who was it? Was it Memphis when they were number 23 in the country?
I think so, yeah.
The kid threw for 190 yards, and he ran for 230.
Right. And both programs can throw a little bit more than like
Navy does it a little bit more, and they do it from a more variety of stuff. Army throws it 8 times a game, but they got this wideout, number 87, who can run routes, and he's quick and fast and tough. And just when you think it's another friggin' option or quarterback sweep or quarterback counter, all of a sudden, boom, that wideout's 8 yards behind you, and it's an 80-yard touchdown. So I'm hoping we're going to get a little more offense than typical in an Army-Navy game. But to your point, they're both really good football teams.
Mike Mayock's on the call tomorrow for Westwood One. You can listen nationally. Of course, Westwood One Sports, they do a tremendous job with the NFL, college football, everything in between. We'll be at Northwest Stadium, home of the Washington Commanders, tomorrow. And before I have to let you go, I got to ask you, because I don't think we've had you on since Jaden was drafted.
Yep. Right.
I assume you like what you've seen so far?
I don't like it. I love it.
Okay.
And
that makes a lot of people happy.
Well, I had the same grade on Caleb and Jaden coming out last year, and it was a really high grade.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This year's class, for instance, the quarterbacks, I don't have that kind of look at. There's no way. I don't think they compare to those two.
Correct.
Okay. I did a bunch of Jaden Daniels work at LSU, and his deep ball accuracy and touch is off the charts. He's accurate at all three levels. He can beat you in the pocket. But the extra added superpower is that, you know, somebody asked me years ago, how fast is Lamar Jackson? And I said, as fast as he needs to be. And that's the way I feel about Jaden. He's special. His players, he's a leader. You can tell how the players respond to him. But here's what's even better if you're a Washington fan. You know, Adam Peters has done a great job, and the GMs don't get talked about enough.
I
mean, that second-round pick, Johnny Newton, I had a first-round grade on him. Sarah Still, the Michigan kid.
Yep.
You know, he's a baller. He's a baller.
He is a tough,
so
you
tough.
Know what?
Third-round pick is your starting left tackle.
Yep.
If you
Brandon
go Coleman, right down the list of draft picks last year, it's volume and it's quality.
Mm-hmm.
It's both. And then you add in Frankie Louvu and the linebacker from Seattle.
And Chin's had a good year, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you
Bobby Wagner, obviously,
you start, you start mixing all that together. And at this point, I think you're ahead of schedule. I think you got the right GM. I think you got the right head coach, and you got the right quarterback, and that's the prescription for greatness.
Let me add two more things.
No,
I appreciate
ahead.
You, Mike Mayock, with us. The thing that jumps out, I think, the most to me, and I've been around Griffin, I've been around Cousins, I've been around Rex Grossman. I've covered all these guys on a day in, day out. The work ethic that Jaden has. I mean, when a quarterback shows up at 5 in the morning, when he does the virtual reality crap, whatever that does for anybody, I don't know.
Yeah.
When he works from 5 in the morning until – I've seen guys leave the building at 3:30 in the afternoon. You don't leave at 3:30 and win a lot of games in the NFL.
I agree.
What does the work ethic for a quarterback mean to you, a talent evaluator like you've been?
Let me take it a step further in what it means to his teammates, okay? Because that's really – the residual benefit of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay, when your quarterback is in there at 5 in the morning, grinding tape and doing his virtual reality. And then at the afternoon when everybody else is going home, mm-hmm. and he's sitting in with the quarterback coach and saying, here's what I see this mm-hmm. week. This is what I'd like to run. Mm-hmm. I mean, that permeates throughout the entire building.
Yeah.
Okay, especially when your quarterback's 23 years yep. old or whatever he is,
yep.
you know, and he's got this kind of work ethic. And here's what happens is that every player in the building sees that, and they kind of go, he can get us to the promised mm-hmm. land. And if he can do that, then what can I do? And it just it raises the level of the entire building. It really does.
Mike Mayock with us for another moment. He'll be on the call for Westwood One tomorrow for the 125th Army-Navy game presented by USAA at Northwest Stadium. Bill Belichick
yeah.
to North Carolina. I love it. I people are saying the NFL turned their back on Bill. Let me ask it to you this way. Do
yeah.
you think, I don't know, did Belichick say, you know what? The hell with you. I'm going to go and do my thing where I want, how I want,
yep.
with the control that I want. Lombardi's coming with him.
Yep.
He's keeping Freddie Kitchens
yeah.
right? And I'm going to do my thing even at 72, and even though yep. people think it yep. doesn't make sense.
I think that's well said, okay? And I played for Belichick, the Giants, when he was the special teams coach.
That's right. I forgot
okay?
about that.
So when I was 23 years old, Bill was 29.
Yeah.
And he was special at 29. Yeah. I knew he was different then.
Yeah.
He's 72 now. He's got 8 Super Bowl wins. And I would tell you this. He's going to go down there and do exactly what you said. He's going to bring Lombardi. He's going to bring his guys in. They're going to run it like an NFL team. And in this world today of college football, it's not that much different. I mean, it's evaluating high school kids. It's evaluating the portal, which is something that has got college coaches mm-hmm. frustrated now because they're not built to evaluate.
Yes.
It's like free agency. They weren't built
for that. You
need
to have a general manager,
you
right?
You do need yeah. at this point. And then it's about raising money for the collective
yeah.
and how much money do you have to spend for all this, which is, again, it's like free agency without a salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to go in there, and I think he's going to set this thing up like an NFL thing. He's going to preach how I can get your son to the NFL, and will he lose some players? Yes. Every college team this year,
sure.
these days are losing
yeah.
players. That's why I have the portal. He'll go back into the portal. He'll say to Lombardi, we need a right tackle, an edge rusher, a corner, and a safety. That's what we really, it's priority. And they'll get the kid from Western Michigan, and they'll get the kid from here, and they'll continuously build it. And I think he'll leave it in a great place in 3 to 5 years
maybe
when he retires.
Son, yeah.
It could be his
maybe,
son.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, who cares if he's the right
yeah,
guy?
Yeah.
And he's a good coach,
yeah.
his son.
Real quickly, considering all of your vast experience in scouting and
yeah.
again, GM of the Raiders, is the role of the new college GM, is that an appealing potential for you, or would you not
it.
Want to do that?
I had a coach ask me this summer if he took a job, would I go with him, and I said no.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all moving, and so long story short, I don't think so.
Okay. You'll be on the call for Westwood
yep.
125th Army-Navy game. I know you'll rock it out as you always
Fired
do.
Up. Fired
I,
up.
I am, you know, I don't think you realize how big of a fan I am of you. So thank you for doing this. I appreciate you. Best of luck, and obviously have a great call tomorrow.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
That is the great Mike Mayock with us on the Team 980 here at the 125th Army-Navy game presented by USAA on the Team 980. Joe Theismann still to come. Stay with us. Yep.